All right, so what inspired this EP? How did it come to be?
You know, this EP actually came to be after I moved to LA. And I'm from a smaller town up in Oregon, and moving to a big city like Los Angeles, you know, to pursue the dream, or however, you know, that facets for whatever it is for anyone. I had probably between 30 and 40 different either stems or bits or parts of songs, ideas, concepts, melodies, top lines, bass lines, chord progressions, whatever that I was going through. And I actually had left a job that was kind of sucking a lot of the creativity out of me. It was a serving gig, and it was just one of those things where I was getting lost in the shuffle, just trying to stay afloat in the city. And I said, you know, I'm losing a lot of focus on what needs to happen. And I just made a clean break, walked out one Friday night, and came home, wrote my resignation letter. And then over the next 2 weeks, I wrote 4 new songs. Hideaway was one of them, and sent them to a producer that I had come into contact with recently through a writing partner of mine who's a good friend. And he said of all the things that I sent him, the 4 tracks that make up the first 4 tracks of the EP were the ones that had the most kind of visceral component to them. And he's like, these are the ones that I want to produce. I want to dive into these. I have some great ideas. I want to hear your ideas. And so we just kind of went from there with that EP. So it was kind of like a long time in the making, but it really kind of came to a head pretty quickly over the course of a couple of weeks. And then we spent a few months producing the songs and working on the tracks and leaving them and coming back to them. And it was a really, really fun process. And then the final track on the album I'd written and produced maybe the year prior to that, which was the first song that I produced when I moved to LA. And I wanted to include that on there because it's a very special song, like, to me. So
I mean, you've kind of come full circle in a way. How do you feel now that you're away from all of that negativity and you're in LA doing what it is that you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I feel fantastic. It was like the weight was lifted. I came home and my roommates, you know, cracked a bottle of wine because they were like, you know, like 6 months too late for you to like leave this job.
They probably wanted you to quit a long time before they were done hearing about it. So
yeah, totally. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like you go through life and you have your focuses and these things that you want to do. But it's hard when you're out on your own and, you know, you don't have, like I grew up very fortunate. My parents are upper middle class. My brother and I were never want for anything, and they're the most amazing supportive parents you could ever hope for. But it's also, you know, like I'm not a trust fund baby. So moving out and being on your own, like, you know, you have to worry about getting a car, and then you have to worry about finding a place to live, and you have to have a job, and you also want to be able to like enjoy the city, but at the same time with music, it costs a lot up front if you don't have, you know, if you're not signed to a label or anything. Like right now I'm independent. A lot of this, like all the costs pretty much have been on me. So it's, you know, you get caught up in trying to just stay afloat in the game. And so I took a step back from that and was able to do some soul searching, and it was very cathartic in a way. And very, like inwardly focusing and put me like, not that I had like lost track, but kind of like grounded me a bit more and was very much a way to sort of center myself within my art. And now coming through that, kind of through the eye of that storm, if you will, kind of like Hideaway, I can look back on it and be like, that period of time needed to happen so that I could write these songs. And, you know, they were moments for me where, you know, Hideaway is about finding support. And I ended up finding that obviously through my friends and family, but within myself, and finding that strength within to be able to, you know, progress and move forward and not lose hope and succeed. And now, you know, we've released a single. We're going to release the video here in a couple of weeks. The EP is coming out next month. We're putting together an album release show, and I'm already working on stuff for the next EP, like conceptually. So it feels very good and very motivating to have made that progress and that journey with myself and with my music as kind of like a culmination of what that period of time was for me.
So before we get to, you know, really what inspired Hideaway, for people that are listening to this for the first time, you know, listening to you and like, oh, this guy sounds pretty cool. Let's talk a little bit about your sound. Like when I listen to you, I hear a whole bunch of different things. I hear a little Eric Carmen. I hear a little John Waite. I hear a little bit of everything. So like, just let's talk a little bit about like what inspires your sound, like where, who you listen to and what you pull from them.
Totally. Well, I come from not a musical family, but my parents are very, very into music. And so growing up, we listened to everything on vinyl. We would dance around in our family room, my brother, my parents and I. And everything from like Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, nice, to B.B. King. My dad's a huge King fan. Mm-hmm. Fleetwood Mac, and even things like Celine Dion and the Beatles and the Stones and the Byrds. And we got a piano when I turned 6 that year for Christmas. And so that's the instrument that I gravitated towards the most. And so sonically, when I write, I stem from that, from the piano. And so modern, like current day artists that I'm very influenced by, and that I don't necessarily try to emulate, but I try to find, like inspiration from, or like different ideas or colors of music. I see music in a lot of colors. Mm-hmm. Are people like Sarah Bareilles, John mm-hmm. McLaughlin, Christina Perry, Sam Smith vocally, I think is one of the most astounding artists out there. And I think it's really cool that he's able to be himself in an industry that is really kind of becoming a lot more like individual in a way. And I think it's cool, you know, mm-hmm. people are being discovered and have a lot more say in their careers. And it's cool because a lot of people try to stay as independent as long as possible. Absolutely. Because then, you know, when they make that next step, they really do have a lot of power in their following and what they've done with their own artistry. So mm-hmm. artists like that, like Adele is a huge source of inspiration for me. She's, you know, brought back that wall of sound kind of thing, but also she mixes in live instrumentation with production aspects. And I think that's a really cool balance, which we've done a lot of on this record. Yeah, I'm really influenced by country music too. People like Sugarland, like Jennifer Nettles, but just because the way they tell stories and weave visual sure. aspects into music, and you know, you really can kind of fall into, you know, I've had people say too, like on this record, there's a lot of different genres that can cross over too. And one of them that a lot of people have brought up, which is interesting because I didn't make it that way, but I guess because of the storytelling aspects of them, there's kind of like an alt country vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's something influence in that for me too, because my family, even though I'm from Oregon, my grandparents are from the South, so we've got a lot of that influence too. And so
I think it's kind of funny too. I do a lot of music work with my students, and a lot of them, if they don't hear, a lot of them aren't comfortable or familiar with country music, and they'll hear a song that is maybe Americana, or it's pop, or it's something different. But if it's got a really great story, they always think that it's country. I always thought that that was interesting, because country music has like the best stories. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, it's incredible, like listening. You know, and I've seen almost all my favorites in country music. Everybody from like the band Perry to mm-hmm. Latina McBride, Sarah Evans, Carrie Underwood, the Rascal Flatts. I mean, I've seen, and obviously I go to Stagecoach a lot down here too, mm-hmm. in Coachella, but, which is a really cool way to find new artists. But, every single one of them, like it's captivating when they're telling stories, and it's just, you know, it's like why people are in love with entertainment, because they love the storytelling, and that goes back, you know, thousands of years. And it's why people love going to the movies, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's fun to kind of get lost in that. And I think there's something really beautiful if you put music to that, because it's like you reach people on a different level. That's not necessarily tangible, but at the same time it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
So we're talking about stories. So what's the story behind Hideaway? How was that song written? How was it written? What inspired it? When was that light bulb moment?
The light bulb moment for that song, basically, I had a chord progression. And when I write, it generally tends to be more melodic or harmonious. But the chord progression for that one was kind of a haunting thing. And I'm a sucker for big ballads. And when I write, I usually tend to write at like a slower beat per minute or slower pace. And my producers sometimes are like, okay, well, let's try this one and flip it over. And like one of the songs on the record was written as a big love ballad. But then John Coggins, my producer, came to me. He's like, hey, I have a really cool concept for this. What if we flip it and make it like a really cool, fun commercial pop sound? And it turns out to be like the fastest paced song on the record. Mm-hmm. But it's got the same meaning. So it's cool that you can get with music and it's malleable. But Hideaway was started off as very haunting. I was kind of not in like a dark place, but again, with all that stress and leaving work and needing to do some soul search, I just sat down at the keys and this progression kind of came to me. And I've been tinkering with it for a little while, like, you know, basic chord structure stuff. And I just kind of ruminated with it and sat there and marinated. And and it was kind of a thing where I was like, I was feeling like I was in the eye of the storm and all these facets in my life, and I needed to find a way to be grounded. And then as the song kind of came out, it was more like Hideaway, like I need to hide away. Can I hide away in you? Can you give me your arms? Cause I need like a hug. I need that thing right now. I need somebody to tell me it's going to be okay. But then as I started going through it, I was like, you know what? This is cool and cathartic, but it's also like, I am the one that's going to make it okay for me. And you know, you can have all the external support in the world, but if you can't find the strength within yourself, which mm-hmm. everybody has, it's just a matter of finding where that is. It's, you know, you're not going to be able to move forward and take that next step. And it's, so it kind of came as a song that kind of got flipped on its head with the same term, hideaway, as opposed to like, when can I hide away? It's like, when you want to hide away. Like, and then it became a thing where I was like, almost speaking to myself, where I was like, I can take you on, I can take on your weight, Taylor, you've got this. But then it also is cool because the way that the song ended up being structured, it's kind of anthemic in a way where it's like, I can take that on for other people can take that on for me. So it speaks in both of those, you know, external and internal kind of factors, like, I guess, arenas, I guess is a better way to put it.
I gotcha. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Bottom line, why should someone buy this EP when it's released in January? Like, give me your elevator pitch.
Why they should buy it?
Yeah.
Well, it's very insightful into me. I think the message that I have put forth in a lot of my songs is about humanity and love, being it loving yourself, loving your fellow man, loving your significant other, loving your family and friends. I think love is one of the things that makes the world go around, as well as humanity. And a lot of the songs on here really speak to those kind of emotions and those kind of feelings. And I think especially with the state of the world today, you know, 2016 is kind of a hard year for a lot of people and mm-hmm. well, a really hard year for a lot of people. And I think that starting 2017 fresh, I think it's a really good time for this record because people can kind of get lost in, not only, I mean, the production on it is great. Like, John did an incredible job. And, obviously I gave my sense and stuff with him. But he was, you know, sonically what he did with building off of what I wrote, I think is really cool. And it's a nice cocoon of an album, sort of just kind of immerse yourself in and, you know, check out for a good 20 or 30 minutes and listen to songs. And each one was written for very different reasons, but really speak to that that human experience from a very real, personal, honest place. And I think that that's, you know, a lot of the artists that are finding a lot of success these days, these country artists or the Adeles of the world are, you know, finding success because they are speaking as if it's like a conversation with another person. And I think that the record has a lot of aspects of that to it. It was really fun to write. And I think that a lot, and fun to like produce and, you know, even going through all those emotions, I think that it was a really incredible experience, and I really want to share it with people just because it's something I'm very proud of too.
So I have to ask you too, like, where do you go from here? The EP comes out in January. Like, what's the next step for you?
Well, the EP comes out in January. I think we've potentially picked a second single off of there. We're still kind of bouncing forth on some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll release that, I believe, maybe in February. And then I am already at work, like I said, on another EP. I've got, not to pull attention from Hideaway, but I've, you know, already got another list of songs compiled that we're working on. Some of the songs we were actually starting to work on when we were doing Hideaway, but sonically we wanted to go in a different direction with them. So I think they're going to be better cohesively on another records, which is what we decided on. So we're going to be working on that. I'm in talk with a couple producers, people I've worked with before, people I haven't worked with. And we're just going to try to keep this ball rolling of, you know, releasing music and content as we can, when we can, and you know, get people out there that want to come to shows. We're going to do an album release show in January. Not too many details on it yet, but we're working that out.
Great.
And just keep doing live shows. I do national anthems for sports teams. Like, I've done the Dodgers and the Clippers and
nice. Our
teams up in Portland, like the Trailblazers and stuff. So hopefully more of those kind of opportunities to get out there. Open mic nights. So hopefully 2017 is going to be a good, progressive, and productive year for us.